ground, there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there questioning their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's a blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Thank you. I don't know if you caught it. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, healing happened. Amazing God, startle us and open our hearts to that love that not only can change us, but change the world. Amen. A three-year-old girl was diagnosed with leukemia. And she had to have this massive blood transfusion. So her entire family was tested to see which one would be the best match. It so happened that her 10-year-old brother was the perfect match. So the parents asked, would you be willing to do this? And this 10-year-old said, "Well, I need to think about it." And for a full day, he thought. And then he came and said, "I'll do it." So a few days later, he's in the hospital, prepped, on the gurney, all of the medical transfusion, blood transfusion equipment hooked up to him. A liter of his blood filled the bag. And he was awfully pale. And the nurse bent over, "Are you okay?" With a quivering lip, "Yes." And then there was the big pause. And he said, "When will I start to die?" Talk about love. Talk about making your heart, all of your heart, available. Sue Monk Kidd wrote this essay called Availability. And in this essay, she describes this train ride in the middle of an ice storm. And this ice storm happened, and the airport was closed. Her plane home got rescheduled. So she had to return that night by train to her brother-in-law's house. So she's on the train, she's irritated, she's disappointed, she's absorbed in all of her feelings. And she looks across the aisle on the train, and there was a middle-aged woman crying, whose face was just gazing upon her face. And Sue said, "I could tell that she was wanting to get my attention. I had the sense that she was wanting me to fling my heart open and take her in. But what could I do? I mean, I can't possibly fix her pain and her problems." So she describes how her inhibitions began to rise, kind of blended with tiredness and anxiety around the ice storm. And so she looked away. and she kind of surrendered herself into the murmur of the train. Quietly and uncomfortably unavailable. Well, the rest of the essay describes how powerful this encounter was for her. She describes it as the encounter of the face of the other. And she describes the soul work that she became aware of when she became aware that she turned away and that she consciously made her heart unavailable. And she said, this woman kept coming back to me in my dreams, like this spiritual companion. It's like that song on the radio that you wish wasn't there but continues to sing in your head. And the dream, Sue and the woman are in this boat. And the woman's tears from the train, the woman's tears are filling the boat and filling the boat so full that Sue begins to try to bail the boat out to no avail. Finally, she stops and she looks into the irrepressible eyes of this woman. And her tears dry up. Then she looks the other way and the tears begin again. And she realizes to herself the divine wisdom in this dream is this awareness and recognition that, you know, it was not my responsibility to fix her problems. I was simply being asked to be present, to make my heart available. And I became aware that so often I'm with people, but at a very deep level, I am unavailable. My heart is unavailable. And she says, I suffer from attention deficit disorder of the soul. Let that sink in for a moment. Attention deficit disorder of the soul. I love the image in today's Bible reading. The image of these four friends who were carrying a paralytic. And these friends who refused to allow any kind of structure or barriers or obstacles get in the way from their friend experiencing the presence, the healing presence and the love of Jesus. So the story says, out of their compassion, they literally ripped the roof off. Can you envision this? This image of just ripping the roof off. A couple years ago, lightning struck. And there was a hole in the roof, right over there. And a few times since then, I've gone back to the sermon that I had preached that morning to see what exactly I said to make that that happen. But what we did is we worshiped. You might recall we worshiped out in the parking lot under a big tent. And people would talk about how the energy was different. And how there was this different sense of community, so much so that here we are a couple years later and people are saying, can we do that again? Can we have a hole in the roof again? And what's strange about our Bible reading, what I found particularly strange, did you catch it? It says, as the men were carrying the paralytic, and as they ripped open the roof, it says when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus turns to the paralytic and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Which in that setting literally means you are restored. You are made whole. You are ready to return to community. Jesus is saying to these friends, it is your faith that has made him well. It is your faith that has healed him. It is your faith that has released him to new life. Maybe it's time to rip some roofs off again. I was incredibly moved to tears this past week as I read the story of Kayla Mueller, the 26-year-old humanitarian aid worker who was kidnapped a year and a half ago in 2013, was kidnapped by ISIS when she was caring for refugees in Syria. And just a week ago, it was confirmed that she was killed when Jordanian airstrikes hit the building in which she was held. Well, during her 18 months of captivity, amazingly, she wrote letters back home. Letters that revealed this remarkable faith. One of the letters she wrote, "Mom, you taught me that all in all, in the end, all we have is God. And I have come to this experience in my life where I have totally surrendered to God. And because of God and your prayers, I feel myself tenderly cradled in free fall. And even though I'm in prison, I am free. I am grateful." One letter she wrote to Reverend Kay Kennedy, who was her campus minister at Northern Arizona University. And in this letter, Kay describes how Kayla was teaching her prison guards how to do arts and crafts. She was teaching her prison guards how to make origami peace cranes. Imagine that. A faith that meets hate and violence by teaching your so-called enemies how to make origami peace cranes. Then on her father's birthday, she sent a letter that says, "I find God in the suffering eyes reflected in mine. I will always seek God. Some people find God in church. Some people find God in nature. Some people find God in love. I find God in suffering. I've known for some time what my life's work is. Using my hands as tools to relieve suffering." You know, there are no easy answers for this complex world that we live in. But I'm not only moved and inspired, I found myself, as I was reflecting on Kayla, I found myself healed. Healed by the faith of this young woman. This young woman who dares to teach her prison guards how to make origami peace cranes. The faith of this young woman who says in the midst of prison, "I am free." There's been lots of talk about retaliation and revenge, because that's the way the world works. What would happen if we asked different questions, like how can we model that faith? What would it look like if our hearts were that open and available to God? What then? There's a futurist who said the 21st century, or the 20th century, was a century of competition and conflict and consumerism. And we have battled so hard to get ahead that we've lost sight of who we've left behind, including our own souls, although we haven't awakened to the truth of that yet. And he said the 21st century must be the century of healing. And that healing will only take place when we begin to recognize that we are the healers that we're waiting for. We are the medicine the world needs. Brian McLaren, in his chapter for this week, he talks about... what does he talk about? I know what he talked about was super important because I wanted to remember it. He talks about... I'm going to find out what he talked about. He went on to say, sometimes I think the message of Jesus, the message of Jesus, that's what he talked about. Sometimes I think the message of Jesus, you know, this message that the kingdom of God is not somewhere over there, out there, beyond us, but this message that the kingdom of God is here, within us, among us. This message of love, not a soft, fluffy love, but a fierce love, where we're asked to even love our enemies. This message of forgiveness, not seven, but 70 times seven, of peace and reconciliation. This message of what can happen when you make your heart open and available. He went on to say, sometimes I think that message is kind of a craziness of poets and artists, or maybe the fantasy play of children, or the delusional Don Quixotes swinging at windmills. But then I thought to myself, what other message can possibly change the world, heal the world? Maybe what's crazy is to continue thinking the way we think, that just a little more hate will overcome hate, that just a little more war will somehow put an end to war, that just a little more revenge will somehow put an end to all revenge, that a few more guns will finally make us free and secure, that a little more greed or gold will overcome greed, that just a little more division will somehow create cohesion. In our Bible image, the friends, so full of faith and compassion, they ripped the roof off, and healing happened. I imagine that image of ripping the roof off, like opening our hearts fully. I want to show a quick video of Naomi Fail. I actually got to work with Naomi 20 years ago in Australia. A Jewish woman who makes her heart available to Gladys. Gladys, who is trapped in the prison of Alzheimer's and has been nonverbal in her prison of Alzheimer's, nonverbal for a couple years. Naomi makes her heart available. And watch the healing that takes place.
Just a little. You think I could be with you and Jesus for a minute? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I use music. Because when speech is gone, music, especially with Gladys Wilson, it was religious music because there's emotion tied to it and safety tied to it. So I used her old church song. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. What I did was, when she moved, I moved with her. And when I was singing, because she didn't sing with me, so I matched the intensity of my voice to the intensity of her movement. And pretty soon, for a split second, we became one person. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So at one point, when she got very quiet and very peaceful, and my voice became very quiet as hers and very peaceful, and my breathing slowed to her breathing, she pulled me to her, and I moved with her. And for her, at that moment, I believe I was a symbol of her mom. Can you open your eyes now? Feel safe and warm? Yes? Can you sing with me? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the mothers and the fathers. He's got the mothers and the fathers in his hand. He's got the mothers and the fathers in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. The breakthrough doesn't happen every time. The person will not always open their eyes and look at you. But if you keep trying and you keep centering yourself and really look at that person and really mirror their movements, maybe not this time, but the next time you come, you'll have a communication.
You feel safe. You feel safe?
Yes.
With Jesus?
Yes.
And me?
We are the healers that we have been waiting for. Imagine the kind of faith where your heart is so open and available that you make origami peace cranes with your prison guards. When Jesus saw their faith, healing happened. May it be so. We continue to worship God as the offering is received.